service. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. Psalm 63:1. You, God, are my God. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land. That's Psalm 63:1. We have a dry and parched land, right? In our spirits, in our souls, and even in our environments sometimes these days. So we're praying for rain. But we just know that God is the provider of all things, and he's the provider of every good and perfect gift in our lives. Amen? We're going to ask God to help us see it today.
Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. 'Cause I want to see you.
Let's lift him up.
See you high. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. 'Cause I want to see you.
Come on, sing it again. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. I want to see you.
All right, here we go. Let's lift it up.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Sing holy, holy.
Savior, he can move the mountains.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning. We praise you because you are the conqueror. Not even death could hold you down. There's nothing, Lord, that can keep us apart from you. Help us to draw closer every single day. Help us to be within the grasp of your arm. Grab us where we are and hold us where we are, Father God, and draw us to you are a great God, and we love you so much. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, forever. The author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. All God's people said, amen. At this time, we can dismiss our children to their classes. And why don't you stand and continue greeting one another? Say hello to somebody this morning. Turn around and shake a hand next to you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate this. On the order of service, it said that we were supposed to allot 2 minutes for greetings, so I was trying to give you guys close to that. But that seems excessive. I don't know. But good morning. You guys are very good at greeting, so I probably could have given you a little bit more time. Welcome to Grace, everybody. My name is Alyssa Tucker, and I want to welcome you all here today. And if you are new with us or you've been coming for a while and have not gotten an opportunity to fill out a Connect card, I would like to encourage you to do that today. If you want to, you can raise your hand, and we have an usher in the back that can bring that to you. Otherwise, we do have them available for you in the lobby, and you can fill it out and turn it in at the Welcome Center, and we will give you a little gift. So please do that. That's just a way for us to get to know you and to know that you're here and to connect with you and hopefully get you to come back, because we love people here. So please do that after church. I'm going to invite Michael Johnson up right now, and he's going to give the men's ministry announcement. Give him a round.
Got the hand clap beforehand. That's nice. So this is an announcement specifically for men. So if you consider yourself a man, please stand. Thank you, guys. Keep standing. Now that I've got your attention, this is the announcement. So we have a men's breakfast. So all of you are standing are welcome to this and invited to this time. It's going to be scheduled for April 23rd. That's 3 Saturdays from today. and starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. The primary food group is going to be bacon with a side of pancakes and fruit. And we have some interviews planned, so those are going to be special, of course. We also have the infamous brown bag game, so you don't want to miss that. So again, Saturday the 23rd, 8 a.m., you guys can sit down now. Thank you.
I have so many questions. For one, there was way too many of you out there that did not stand, so we have some things to figure out. Also, what is in the brown bag? Poop? I heard somebody say poop. Is that accurate? Because that seems sketchy. I'm not coming. Okay, thank you, Michael. Okay, so we started today the Family Project during the 9 a.m. hour, and hopefully did some people come to that, I would hope. Good. Okay, good amount of hands. I would like to see more of those, though, so if you did not come today, you can still come. You may still join. And also next week, we are going to start our eschatology class. Don't let that word scare you. It's only the study of end times, so, you know, it's just like an easy thing to do. Maybe we should stick with the term eschatology, not end times, but, you know. Please join us for these classes. They are during the 9 a.m. hour. And if you have kids, we also have a kids program that's going on. Myself and my husband, we are doing the orange curriculum. This is not on my list, but I'm going to say it anyways. We are doing the orange curriculum. And if you were here at Christmas and you got to see a little sneak peek of the videos, it is such an awesome curriculum that we are doing. It's getting the kids to dive deeper in the word and helping it really stick and retain through these videos that we use. So we would love to have everybody come, all kids, all adults, everybody come during the 9 a.m. hour next week. Also, on Friday, we have our dress rehearsal for the Palm Sunday performance. The kids have been working so hard at this, and their performance is next Sunday, so make sure you come to that. But parents, if you didn't get a flyer, we are rehearsing on Friday from 3:30 to 6 here, and we're going to have a little pizza party afterwards. So if you have any questions, come talk to me about that. The Amador Pregnancy and Family Resource Center is done with their baby bottle campaign, and you guys did awesome this year. We have raised more money than ever, $2,425.73. So give yourself a round of applause. You guys did awesome. Thank you so much for your giving in that. On next Saturday, April 9th, we got our work day. I forgot my hat, you guys. We got our work day. Oh, no, that's my Mark Johnson accent. I gotta figure out those accents. We have our work day Saturday, April 9th from 9 to 12. Bring any tools that you might have that you think would be helpful. We need help with weeds and tidying up the church property. It's a big property, and we want it to look nice, especially for the holiday coming up. So if you have any questions, Caleb, raise your hand. Oh, no, Caleb's gone. You all know what Caleb looks like, though, so go talk to Caleb if you have any questions. In your bulletin, hopefully you got one, we have these really awesome-looking Easter invites, and these are for you to give to your friends to invite them to Easter. So please take a few. There's more in the lobby, and pass them out to your neighbors, your coworkers, anybody. Get them here on Easter Sunday. These are really cute. Whoever made them, nice job. Last announcement is our offering. We have three ways to give. You can give through the Vanco app. You can mail it in to our church address, or you can put it in the box in the back. But we just want to encourage you to give with a happy heart and for the Lord. And that is all I have for you. So happy Sunday.
We're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and continue on with, we got one more song that Matthew specifically wanted before. Matthew Hooper is doing our message today. Pastor is out on a conference. And it's always important to have what I call pastor's prerogative. He wants to change service, then he's going to change the service. And we're going to let him do that because something special is about to happen when they get involved and they change service for us. So you can feel free to sit down. You can feel free to stand. You can feel free to raise a hand. You can feel free to keep your hands next to your side. Always a culture of just kind of freedom in worship, what we want to cultivate here. This song is called O Come to the Altar.
Are you heard?
broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Feel free to sing along. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Here's my voice. For those who are able, go ahead and stand for the reading of the scripture. And I'll be reading from John 14. And bear with me, the pastor today picked a longer passage, so he thought I wanted to be up here to read. So, all right. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have not seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On the day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad when I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You may have a seat.
How about now? Oh, there we are. Sorry about that. All right. Thank you, Sheila, for reading the scriptures and adding those few verses extra on the end. So it's like kind of like, you know, quid pro quo. Hey, you're going to make me read long, so I'm going to read even longer, right? So thank you, sweetie. Maybe it's more appropriate to have the whole chapter be read. So my name's Matthew. I'm really excited to be here with you all today to offer this message today. I'll tell you a little bit more about myself. If some of you, I think, don't have any idea who I am, some of you know me fairly well. But we have been in a series in Acts for many months now. And let's see, did I move everything? Yeah, okay. We've been in a series in Acts many months now, and it's been awesome, and we're almost a little over two-thirds of the way through the book of Acts, and it's been great learning from Acts and multiple teachers, especially Pastor Mark, just about God's movement through his Spirit in the first believers, the early church. After Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and he sent his Spirit. And so much of Acts is really about the movement of the Spirit amongst God's people. This is over 2 millennia ago, 2,000 years ago. But the reality is that same Spirit is with us today. And I like this, the facts. Oops, let me see here. Is this going to work? Just a second. It's not working. I don't know why. Yeah, right. There we go. Let's see here. I'll plug it in. Okay. All right, so the facts of Acts. So it's Acts is so much about, over and over again, this embrace of truth, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit, over and over and over again. There we go. Great. And as you can see here, there's this image. It's been up every week. It's an image, this flame. It represents the Spirit. And just by way of connection, I want to light this candle. And I don't know if you're going to be able to see the flame here. Maybe a little bit you will. But I hope, yeah, oh yeah, you will. There we go. I want to light this candle just as a physical reminder to all of us that today, just like back then, when the gospel was originally going out, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, through all the disciples, and we've learned so much now through Paul and Barnabas and Apollos and many others, the gospel was going out through the power of the Spirit. That same Spirit that was with the disciples then, in them, between them, amongst them, leading them, is the same Spirit that indwells us, that is with us today. The fire that lit them lights us today. This candle is just a physical reminder, very tangible physical reminder that the Spirit is here, that same Spirit that helped those early believers, followers of Jesus, and those they were talking to come to faith, to see the truth, to embrace the truth. That's really good to remember. The same Spirit then that we've been learning about is the Spirit now. This is a physical reminder of that today. So today, the title of my message is here. It's Preparations, and the guiding thought is this. And there's a little interaction I'd like here. Good things come to those who wait. Excellent. Okay. Now, this might be a little bit harder. Great things come to those who what? It's not as common, right? In fact, I made it up so for this message. But I have no idea. Great things come to those who I have no idea. But here's what I want to say today as a guiding thought. Great things come to those who prepare. Good things happen to life, in life, to those who wait, and also those who practice, do things, but great things come. When we really prepare, when we really prepare for something, a great win, a great experience. And we can have great experiences, in a sense, without preparing, but I know it's true that when we prepare for something good, sometimes it's great because of our preparation. And so I just want to talk about this, have this guiding principle or guiding thought that good things come to those who wait, but great things come to those who prepare. Great things come to those who prepare. So, you might be asking, prepare for what? Okay, so I'm going to answer that question. But in order to offer this message and to answer that question, I want to tell you a little bit about who I am. So my name is Matthew Hooper. Okay, I'm married to Sheila. Here's our family right here. These are my 3 kids, Annie, Brianna, Jaren. They're a wonderful family. I'm so grateful for them. There we are on the beach near Monterey Bay for spring breaks, and here we are doing our crazy picture. Now, I want you to notice Sheila there. Did you see how she, in this picture, like she's smiling right there? Now, we're supposed to do a crazy picture, right? Now, look at Sheila here. I'm like, Sheila, where's the crazy? She's just same smile, just leaning forward. I'm like, she's really going crazy here, okay? So, but you can see the kids are into it. Jaren's sticking his nose in my armpit. Not a good idea some days. But look at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Look at me here. Talk about a crazy. I perfected this. You know, plenty of selfies, crazy pictures. That's me here. So I'm a pretty playful, fun guy, and I love my family, and we have a good time together. I'm a little crazy sometimes, and that's who a little bit of who I am. But let me tell you a little bit more. So I was born in New Jersey, lived there 7 months. We moved out to California, and I pretty much lived in California my whole life except for 1 year, so I actually can't refer to myself as a native son of California. It hurts every time I walk through Sutter Creek and that little area. You know, I can't go in. I can't be a part of their events. You know, it's like so sad. But I've been here most of my life. So I was born in New Jersey. We moved out here. I lived in the Auburn area for many years, almost 20-plus years. Then I moved to Southern California and loved living there. But after a while, I was aching to return to the mountains and the trees. And eventually, God led us back here almost 5 years ago now. And awesome. So, yeah, so born age zero. In my early years, I grew up in a Christian family, wonderful Christian home, strong faith. Both my parents, Marty and Maxine, many of you have met them, know them, knew my mom before she passed, and then also my dad, who's still living. Wonderful Christian family, but not without its challenge, especially in the emotional area. I know Pastor Mark has been talking about this combination, the need for spiritual maturity and emotional maturity. You can't really have both. I'm sorry. You can't have one without the other. You can't have both. Scratch that from the record, right? You can't have one without the other. If you're going to be spiritually mature, you also need to be emotionally mature, relationally mature. They go together, loving God, loving others. You can't have those separate. So it's really important that I just acknowledge, like, hey, my family had a wonderful family, but there were some limits in it too. And it's important to acknowledge that. But even with the limits, God broke through, the light broke through when I was 11 at a Leon Patillo concert, who used to sing, he was in Earth, Wind, and Fire. You can look it up on YouTube or Pandora or Earth, Wind, and Fire. They rock. Cool band. He was a believer. He went on this concert tour. At the concert, I really responded to the gospel. Like, I'm like, this is real. I'm broken. I need the Lord. 11 years old, I remember just weeping, just crying in my need for the Lord. I really needed a Savior, and I was aware of how much I needed that. Beautiful time when I was 11. Kind of walked kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out from 11 to my early 20s. But then in my early 20s, I recommitted myself to the Lord and to wholehearted discipleship of Jesus, you know, following him in his way, his life and his teachings, more wholehearted, believing in what he said and doing what he does and did his example, walking with him now for 30 years. It's been awesome, but it started back when I was 11. In my family. Thank God for my family. It's been awesome. Well, what about in my 20s? Well, in my 20s, God said, hey, I know you have a commitment to me, but he's like, I'm not going to leave you emotionally immature. So it's time to grow. Ooh, that was the hardest season of my life that I ever experienced, minus a future one, which I'll say a little bit more about in a little bit. But really hard season. You recommit to the Lord, he's not going to leave you where you are. He's going to keep calling you to grow. He's going to keep calling you to mature spiritually and emotionally, relationally. He's going to keep the pressure on. He's going to keep the fire lit. He's going to keep moving you to grow. When I was in my 20s, God just was like, bam, you got to grow here, and I'm going to grow you up, and it's going to be hard, but I'm with you. And it was a season of purgation or purging or deep, you know, purifying, like fire, sanctifying. It was hard, but it was so good I wouldn't trade it because it just opened my heart to a deeper authenticity with God and others. that I hadn't had before. And I was so, so grateful for that. It was also in my 20s when God called me to be like a pastor or shepherd in the church of his people, to follow him in that way, to fulfill that calling. That was in my early 20s. Well, in my 30s, it was a wonderful season. This is an amazing season of professional development, personal professional development for me, especially personally with family. I met Sheila. It's wonderful, 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 Sheila. And there was challenges too. So I just want to emphasize the wonderful. Okay. So, but challenges too. Okay. So any relationship, you get closer. What do you start? You start bumping up against each other. You got to work at it. It's good and it's hard. That's good relationship. Good and hard. Really good, wonderful, and challenging. But as a blessing, I married Sheila a little later in my early 30s. Started a family. It was awesome. And just by the way, marriage changes a lot, but kids change everything. So talk about turning, you know, moving my sanctification to a whole nother level. It started with Sheila, but oh my goodness, kids. And I love you, Bree. Jaron and Annie aren't in here. But they like, oh man. Wow, that was wonderful and challenging. So if you're thinking about having kids, just know that kids change everything. We can talk about that more if you'd like to. Marriage changes a lot. Kids change everything. But also, I lost my mom to cancer in that decade. That was really hard, really sad. Cancer, I lost her to cancer. We also had a couple miscarriages. So a lot of good in life and hard. A lot of good. Well, in my 40s, I kept maturing, especially professionally. I was working at Biola University in student development, having a great career there. It was wonderful, but I sensed God calling us somewhere, but I was like, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You lead me out of here. You need to lead me out. So I'm here. You got to lead us, Lord. Well, in 2017, God called us, really clearly called us in the spring. So this is 5 years ago now in the springtime, around Easter time, just after Easter, God called us to move up here. It was awesome. We were excited. I'd wanted to move back up here. It was great. We became part of Grace. It was wonderful. And boy, did we need it, because it was 2018 when my sister and brother-in-law died. Tragic event. Many of you know all about that. Some of you don't. It was terrible. Terrible situation. Deeply, deeply challenging situation. A lot of good and plenty of hard. It was really hard. But we got through it. And many of you here helped carry us in that journey. Thank you. It's such a blessing to be a part of a fellowship. When things get really hard and really hot, you have people to hold you and to cool you down, take care of you, bring you a cool cup of iced tea with a slice of lemon and say, we're going to get through this, you know. We're going to get through this. Really wonderful decade in my 40s. Now I'm 50. I'm in my 50s, continuing to develop as a family and follower of Jesus. So I've been following Jesus for 30 years, really more, or almost 40 years more intentionally, pretty much 40 years. Been a follower of Jesus. It's been awesome. Well, what about this decade? I turned 50, and what happened? COVID. We were in Hawaii celebrating my 50th birthday. I'd never been to Oahu. We went to our honeymoon, and then many years later, when I hadn't been to Oahu, we went there. COVID happened, started coming out in when we were in Hawaii, and this is in my 50s now. And everyone has suffered because of COVID. No one has been without some kind of suffering, connection to suffering, socially, physically, the loss of life, struggle, conflicting relationships. It has been hard for all of us in some way through this season. Really hard. And then just like locally, nationally, globally, what's happening? There are so many challenges. This is a hard, hard season of life to be living, and challenging, challenging, challenging. And still a lot of good. A lot of good. So throughout these years, I've experienced, actually, look at this, over 50 Easters. 50-plus Easters. Awesome. I'm so grateful. 50-plus Easters, though I know some of you have experienced more than that, like Jerry Brady, 81 Easters, Mel Hatch, 91. And I'm just referring to men because I learned very young not to talk about women and their age You know, I'm like, stay away from, like, that's like, you don't do that. Though some of you, I'm sure, would be just fine with that. But 50-plus Easters, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That is a lot of Easters. Wow. 50-plus Easters. So coming into this message, what was on my heart, and I'm talking, is this question, you know, how might I or we go about experiencing this Easter in a new way? How might we experience Easter in a new way? Think about it. 50-plus Easters for many of you, whether it's 10 or 20 or 30, what might it look like for you to enter into this season, the next few weeks, in a new way? What would that look like? Maybe it'd look like what we experienced reading the scripture. I mean, those were a lot of verses, and Sheila just made it even more so. And that, thank you. I did that intentionally to say sometimes it's really good for us to move out of our comfort space. 10, 12, 14 verses. Hey, let's read the whole chapter. What about four chapters? And how about we read those four chapters every day in the next 2 weeks to push ourselves, to be innovative, intentional, creative, do it a little differently to experience Easter in a new way? What could that look like? The facts are, Easter is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's about the gospel. And what that means for us and why we're all sitting here is because of what God has done through Christ. It's awesome. And we also know the facts about Easter. There's a lot of other things that make it just traditional and cool and fun. And I love eggs. I would be doing Easter egg hunts even in my 50s now if I was allowed. But the kids were like, no, Dad, you cannot do that. I'm like pushing over the little two-year-olds to go for that big egg, you know. No, I don't do that. But you know, there's wonderful traditions in Easter. We move into the experience of it. Even just thinking about this Easter and focusing on the resurrection, and it's so good. We're doing a kids program. It's awesome. Very traditional things that we do. It's good. Very good. And I want to invite us today. This is the first of a three-part series that we're going to be talking about Easter. I want to invite us today to be more innovative and intentional, to be more courageous and creative as you all enter into this Easter season. Now, I can't do that for you. You have to choose to do that. But I'm going to give not really guidelines, but I'm going to like give some help. I'm going to try to help here, give some ideas to kind of stir your thinking, your hearts. Like, how could we do this a little differently? Maintain traditions, but like reading the scriptures, but change them slightly. Move us out of our comfort zones. Move differently to experience Easter a little differently than you have, in a new way or a fresh way. What could I do? What could you do to prepare for experiencing Easter in a unique, fresh way? And I really like the word fresh. So it's going to kind of be a theme here, a fresh experience, like fresh fruit or vegetables or like a fresh breeze, like, oh, yes, a reconnection, a new experience, a fresh way. Wouldn't that be good? So that's my goal here. And so guiding thought, here we go. Good things come to those who wait. Great things come to those who prepare, yes. And my hope is that through this message, it will help you and me prepare a little bit more for a fresh experience of Easter. A fresh experience of Easter. Now, to start this, I want to do this. I want to pray, because the absolute best way to prepare for anything is prayer. This is the best way. So turn with me really briefly, and before we kind of get into the meat of this message, let's say a prayer. So, Lord, as real as what we see, as real as the seat beneath us, as real as the person right next to us is your spirit, as real as the flame in this candle, as real as my voice is your spirit. You're here. You want to move us to embrace truth more deeply, just like you did those early followers. So would you help us in that today, Lord? Help us to move into truth more fully, even as we prepare for Easter through this message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, three movements I'm going to talk today. They're in your notes in the program there or the bulletin. The first is inward preparations. The second is outward preparations. The third is upward preparations. So I'm giving you the fill in the blanks there. If you want to take notes, you can do that. And then you can just fill in the page with whatever you want to write, what comes to mind that you think is helpful. And all of this is to help us move towards just having a fresh experience of Easter as we move into these next couple of weeks. Okay? Okay. So, inward preparations, number one, for a fresh experience of Easter. So the movement focus here of this preparation is toward myself. And the key word here is humility. Humility. The key word is humility. And with all of these preparations, what we're trying to do is prepare the heart, like till the soil, like you would the soil to plant a seed, or like you would a really good stew to enjoy with friendly company, or how you'd prepare a room to welcome a stranger. This is all about preparing the heart, tilling the soil of the heart, moving out of just comfortable places that are good, but kind of moving a little differently to have a deeper experience, a richer experience, a fresh experience of Easter. And so the word here in this first movement that I want to focus on is humility. It's humility. I like this definition of humility. Humility is not having a need to be more than who you are. Just to be you. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the broken, the blessed, the beloved. Humility, just being you. But I also would add here, not having the need to be more, but what about those of us who think too lowly of ourselves? Like we judge or criticize or super critical of ourselves. I don't think that's humble either. Because you're acting like as a judge saying something that's true that's not. Like seeing yourself too lowly is kind of like a twisted way of just seeing the world as you see it. And so I would kind of add to this definition as humility is not having a need to be more or less than who you actually are. To see yourself accurately in relation to God and others. That's my understanding of humility. So, in pursuit of a fresh Easter, in this inward movement or preparation is toward humility of self. So let's turn to the scriptures just a bit. You know, as I was reflecting on this, the first passage that came to mind was Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you haven't watched The Chosen, there's this great final scene. It's the episode right that they ended the last season in The Chosen. It's an amazing new theatrical rendition of the life of Jesus. And they're going into the Beatitudes. But he talks about these, how he came up with these and that how they did it was really cool. If you haven't watched The Chosen, it's really, really cool. But the first three Beatitudes, listen to, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, poverty, deep, desperate need. Blessed are those who mourn, who are full of sorrow over the reality in this world, over their own sin. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, the lowly. They will inherit the earth. Those words of Jesus connect to Psalm 37:11, which is this, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. In the notes from my Bible, they talk about, what does this mean? The meek are those who humbly acknowledge their dependence on the goodness and grace of God and betray no arrogance toward their fellow human persons, human beings. And this is in contrast to being proud or self-sufficient. I so appreciate the Psalms and the words there that they'll inherit the earth. They're low to the ground. And as they're low to the ground, hands in the soil, what is there? Peace. Hey, when I choose to be humble, low, my feet feel so solid on the ground. not too high, not too low, underground, solid. That's the experience of humility. And what's the result of that? It's peace. It's peace. We see Jesus give an example of this. Though he was the Lord of all. First, we learn in Philippians 2, that's a book of a letter of Paul to the Philippians. We learn there in Philippians 2 how Jesus emptied himself. He was with God. He emptied himself of just being with God so that he could come like you and I with hands and feet and a belly button and walk the earth and experience the earth as a human person. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. And then he came and he did things like this in John 13. He washes his disciples' feet. Now, this is amazing that he does this. It is just absolutely amazing. He bends down and washes their dirty feet. This is the Lord of all. He was healing over and over again. This is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior. And this is what he does. I'm like, it's amazing the example. Jesus doing what he did. I love it. He just humbles himself. Gentle, low, meek. Let me do this for you. Do what I do. That's what he says after that. He knew who he was. He was the Lord, but he could also. He was the great servant, the servant king. He was. He knew who he was, and we see this in John 14, 6 when he says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the Messiah, the Savior. The greatest act of service, giving his life. Amazing, Jesus' example here. And I love that verse in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But a specific verse I want to focus on for this inward preparation is this one from Jesus, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus invites those who are learning about him, seeking his listening to his teaching, following him. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Can anyone relate to that? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Shoulder up next to me, for I am gentle, meek and lowly, humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love the invitation of Jesus here to this inward sense of humility. Low, shoulder up next to me, meek, gentle, lowly, humble. What a powerful example from our Lord Jesus. So I wonder, you know, what might it look like for you and I to follow Jesus in a greater humility as we prepare for Easter? What might that look like? Seeing yourself a little more accurately, where are you denying something that's true about you? Or you're just like, I really need to work on this. Maybe it's anger. I know for me with the kids, I can react. I'm too angry. I need to keep humbling myself. Why am I so angry? Because I'm not getting what I want. Sometimes. But there's no excuse for my anger. It's not their fault. My anger is my anger. That's my responsibility. So if I put that on them, that's not good. That's not right. That's sinful. So I need to really keep that in check. For me personally, I need to keep humbling myself. I need to keep that in check. So the guiding thought here, good things come to those who wait. Great things come to those who prepare. So I wonder for you, what might this inward humility look like for you in preparation for this Easter season? To be intentional and innovative, courageous and creative in pursuit of this inward preparation of humility. Perhaps it looks like you taking a walk and being really honest with yourself and considering your own poverty. Where you're mourning? Where should you be mourning? Over your own sin or something that's happening, a broken relationship. Move a little differently. I walk a lot. It's a very helpful thing for me to do. A slow walk, not a speed walk like I'm trying to lose weight or anything or exercise. It's just turning my heart to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to see about me that I'm not seeing? That would be good. That would, I believe, help prepare your heart, thought, feeling, willing, or your choosing for Easter. That would be good. I love this song. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, my blessed Lord. The truth about my need for God every day. The truth about my great sin. What might it be for you? Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Are you bringing that to the Lord in a way that you can really receive grace? Sang that song. What might that look like for you? Am I honestly and courageously embracing the truth of who I actually am? The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the broken, the beloved. What might that look like? Inward humility, I believe, if you engage in that a little more fully in the next couple weeks, what might that lead to? A fresh experience of Easter. Thinking about Jesus, what he did. The grace of God through Christ by his Spirit. That would be good. So what might that look like for you? Something to consider from this message. My hunch is some of you already know, oh, I already know what I need to do. And my thought is just do it. Do it. If that's how you have a sense, what would be good? What would be good in pursuit of humility? Secondly, outward preparations for a fresh experience of Easter. The movement here is toward others. So the first movement is inward, toward yourself, like really taking counsel, listening to yourself. And whether you're 10 or 80, we all have room to grow, to think about things a little differently, okay? That's humility. This next movement is towards others. And here the key word is vulnerability. Now, most of the time when we hear the word vulnerability, we think of it most of the time in terms of like the classic definition, like the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Most of us, likely when we hear vulnerability, it's like, I don't know if I really like that vulnerability. Ooh. I'm not sure if I like vulnerable things, you know, especially when we think of it like we're vulnerable to an attack, to a disease, a virus. We're not really comfortable with vulnerability most of the time. Makes sense. But I want to add a little dimension to that as we talk about vulnerability toward others. And it's this. It's from this author, Brené Brown. Many of you have probably heard about her. I really appreciate her a lot. She has written some really great books. She talks about vulnerability. She's a social psychologist. She's a follower of Jesus. And she's done great work around vulnerability and the power of vulnerability. And she says this, vulnerability is the willingness to show up and be seen with no guarantee of an outcome. To show up, to step in, for me to step in. I'm vulnerable every time I preach. I'm over there standing during the song, my heart's pounding. Okay? Every time I preach, I feel vulnerable. Every time. Even with the youth, you know, it's like there's 10 of us in there and I'm leading up. I still feel vulnerable. Now, that doesn't make it a bad thing, though. There's reasons why I have the feelings that I have, but I just want to say it's really good for me to show up and to be seen, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know what you're going to think about what I have to say, right? It's kind of a vulnerable place to be, right? But it's still good. So all vulnerability is not bad, and the vulnerability what I'm talking about is good. It is good vulnerability. When you can move from humility to vulnerability, it is powerful. It is a powerful action. I love what Brené Brown here. She talks about this more. This is actually my current screen shot on my computer. If you see it, this is what it says. Daring greatly. She's all about this idea of being like living courageously, getting in the arena, not shirking back, not like just being comfortable, reading the scripture for longer, standing longer, going for walks when I don't usually do that. Mixing it up, not being so comfortable, living. She talks about this. Daring greatly means to be vulnerable. It means to show up and be seen, to ask for what I need. All of us, me and you, we have needs. When was the last time you really clearly asked for something you need in a different way than maybe you usually do? I really need time with you. I really need you to listen to me a little more closely. I really need you to do what I'm asking you to do, because this is going to happen if you don't. What would it look like for you to be a little more intentional communicating what you need, or to talk about how you're actually feeling, especially with those closest to us? And you could be married for 50 years, but maybe this Easter, in preparation for Easter, you're a little more vulnerable about something. You know what? I've been thinking about this and I haven't brought it up. I feel really sad about this and I haven't brought it up, but I'm bringing it up because it's in my heart. And I'm bringing it up just in preparation for the Lord meeting me here, meeting us here. That'd be good, my mind. Inviting more grace, inviting the Spirit to move in such a way that you need. Talk about your feelings, to have hard conversations, to be willing to be uncomfortable with a hard conversation. That's really good to do. That's the kind of vulnerability that changes the world. Really good. I really appreciate Brené Brown. So this outward vulnerability to others, let's look at the truth. I love the passage right after. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are, what was the third one? Blessed are the meek. The next five verses are, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for justice. And this emphasis is in relation to others. Blessed are the merciful. To who? To you, to me. For you'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, pure intentions, wanting to do good and right. You'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's not just me with me. That's me with you. It's us with the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. For you will be what? Is it sons of God? Is that what I heard? Children of God? Yeah. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Standing up for injustice, you believe what's good and right. What might that look like? That point of reference, to me, I'm thinking that's not just me way over here. That's me in relation to others. I'm standing up for right and I'm persecuted. And I'm blessed. Mine, yours is the kingdom of heaven. I love that. As I was reading Jesus' words here, it made me think of Micah 6:8. He's shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to do what's right, to stand for what's right, to love mercy, to be kind, to be generous, to be gracious, to be gentle, and to walk humbly with our God. I love those words. John 13, Jesus, the chapter before John 14, which we read, Jesus models this vulnerability. What does he do? He actually predicts that he's going to be betrayed. Talk about vulnerability. Your closest follower is betraying you. He predicts also that Peter, one of his three core team, is going to deny him. Wow. That's vulnerability we see in our Lord Jesus. He's speaking the truth. He's telling it like it is in a way that's hard but good because it's true. We also see that in Jesus' followers, though. Look at this. As you look at this passage in John 14, 5, 8, and 22, I'm going to turn there now. You see, in each of these points, Jesus' disciples asking honest questions. They're like, honestly, they're asking, Jesus is saying these words, they don't understand. It's vulnerable to ask an honest question. But they do. We see their example, and I know Jesus has rubbed off on them. They're like trying to understand. Thomas, first in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? The vulnerability of that question. Then a little bit later, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Would you show us the Father, Lord? Just show us the Father. And then Jesus responds. And then also Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? I love this. So we have Jesus showing his vulnerability in the chapter before, and then his followers are like asking all these questions. Hey, and Jesus is correcting them. God has room for your questions. Jesus didn't shame them. He spoke truth to them. He's like, gosh, haven't you been with me? Like, I think with Philip, you know, I've been with you. Of course, if you see me, you know, you see the Father. I am the Father, and the Father is in me. So, so gracious, but truthful, too. I appreciate that example. But I want to focus here. Later on in the New Testament, the book of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, John, the same author of the one who wrote the passage we read today, John 13, and then we read 14, and so on, says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If you say you have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Now, when I read this, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. That's interesting. What does he mean, walk in the light? Well, I think walking in the truth. I think God is light, walking in God. I think being truly, truly willing to step in the light. What happens when we step into the light? If you're in darkness, what happens when you step in the light? You are what? Exposed. That's vulnerability that is transformative. What would that look like to truly walk in the light, to not keep things in the dark, especially with others? That could be sin. That could be just thoughts and feelings. I'm not sure what that might be for you or for me, but I think it's worth us considering. Because, you know, what might it look like for me and you as followers of Jesus to follow him more fully in greater vulnerability, especially with others? In preparation for Easter, to be intentional and innovative, courageous and creative in our following of him through vulnerability. Perhaps this looks like sharing with another our honest experience of vulnerability in relation to God and others. Guiding thought, good things come to those who wait, great things come to those who prepare. So what might it look like for you to prepare for Easter with more outward vulnerability? Today, tomorrow, in the next few days, this week, being a little more vulnerable, stepping into the light, being a little bit more exposed, being willing to show up and be seen, not knowing the outcome, for the sake of a good, especially with those close to us. This is really important, really important. Could be sharing honest questions like Thomas, Philip, and Judas. Could be sharing painful experiences like Jesus, a betrayal or rejection, or abandonment. You know, through confession, speaking what's true, we move from disconnection and isolation to connection and intimacy. It's powerful when we do this. It's powerful. So I want to invite us to consider this today. If we confess our sins, what is God? He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us. Confess your sins, we hear in James. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that what? You might be healed. There's power through vulnerability, through stepping into the light. I'm not sure what that would look like for you, but if you do that, I believe you will help move towards a fresh experience of Easter. What the cross means, what the burial, the resurrection of Jesus means. How powerful it is, how it changes our world. We can be humble, we can be vulnerable. Through the power of the Spirit, the help of the Spirit, in new and fresh ways. Wouldn't that be good? I do. I think it would be awesome. It'd be better than perhaps we experienced before. That would be good. Lastly, upward preparations for a fresh experience of Easter. The movement here now is toward God, inward, toward yourself, in humility, upward or outward toward others through vulnerability, and then upward toward God, with this sense of abandonment. Now, this is kind of a unique concept. When you think of abandonment, a lot of times it's a more negative, right? Like you're abandoned by someone, that's not good. What I'm talking about here is actually abandonment to God. Like a more full and complete surrender of myself, my life, to the Lord. Abandonment to God. Here we see Jesus, he is calling his disciples point by point, and then later, through John 14 and into these next chapters, time and time again, he's showing, hey, I'm submitting to the will of the Father, and I'm inviting you to submit to my will, my ways, my teachings. In John 14, 1, 15, and 23, he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Abandon your heart to him. Believe that he is good, and trust also in me. And then he says, if you love me, if you really love me, you'll do what I say. You'll obey my commands. If anyone loves me, later in verse 23, that was verse 15, verse 23, he says this, if anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. So what would it look like for you and I to just more fully surrender our hearts to the Lord, trust him more fully, seek to obey his teaching in a greater kind of abandonment, a surrender to him. I think I skipped over this slide. Yeah, I did. I'm going to go back to this real quick. I skipped over this. How I define abandonment is this, is the act of wholehearted surrender. I'm actually the definer of that. You know, I put my name under there, you know. Surrender, wholehearted surrender. Now, this is like a high calling. Wholehearted surrender. How many of us can actually raise our hand and say, yep, that's me? No, that's the vision, that's the goal, and we need the help of the Spirit to more fully surrender, to abandon ourselves more wholeheartedly to the will, the ways, the teaching, the example of Jesus. Yes, that would be good. Why? Because if we love him, we'll do that. And he'll come, he'll send us his Spirit, he'll make his home in us, he'll give us peace. Shoulder up next to me, I'll give you rest. Follow my way, my life, and my teachings. You will have peace. Okay, this is good. I like this. I appreciate these other passages too. My mom always used to write this on every card that she ever wrote me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. And no, it didn't say that. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your paths straight. Trust in him with all your heart, wholeheartedly. What would it look like for you to abandon, to surrender more fully, to trust a little bit more in a way that you have not in the next few weeks, just in preparation for Easter and his grace, his goodness, his life? That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be good in preparation for Easter? A more full surrender, whatever that would look like for you. I wonder what that would be. I appreciate Psalm 37, 3 through 6 here. And it's this. It's trust in the Lord. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight in him. Give yourself fully to him. Delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and your justice, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Yes. More full, complete surrender. John 14 and beyond, Jesus, in these next chapters, and if I was going to say, hey, if you want to, like, at least in the scriptures, take these next 2 weeks to the next level, just read John 14 through 17 and beyond. Just focus on John 14 through 17. This is Jesus' words to his disciples. He has these awesome prayers. So rich, so wonderful, so challenging, so good. What might it look like for you to just read those four chapters every day for the next 2 weeks? Just try to take them in a little bit more. Do it a little differently. Read the scriptures a little longer. Might be a little uncomfortable. You might have to be disciplined, but I think it will be good in preparation for Easter. That's what we want. But I want to focus this last part on Jesus' example in Matthew 26, 39. Jesus, this is after John 14 through 17. They leave. He's in the garden now. And he's with his friends, and he's like, wait with me and pray. He knows what's going to happen. He's preparing to give his life to take on the weight of sin for humanity, past, present, future, pay the price. He's preparing himself as the God-man to do that for all of humanity. And even Jesus struggles to abandon because he knows it's going to be hard. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." But did he stop there with the question? No. He says this, "Yet not as I will, but as you will. I'm going to abandon myself fully to you, Lord, to surrender myself more fully." I'm not sure what that would look like for each of you, but I believe if you ask the question, God will stir in you his spirit, like he stirred in the followers back then, he'll stir in you today, this week. What might that look like? For me, it looks like this, this prayer of abandonment. And I could see Jesus praying a prayer like this, but it's this: "Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will, and whatever you will do, I will thank you. I accept all, Lord. Do your will in my life, with me and all your creatures. I ask no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord. So I'm willing to give of myself, to submit myself into your hands, without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. I surrender." That's Jesus. That's his example. So just what might it look for you? "Father, I abandon myself into your care, into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you will do, I will thank you. I'm ready for all, I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures." Even a prayer like that, you could look it up, prayer of abandonment. It's a wonderful prayer. Maybe just praying that prayer a little more each day. "Lord, what would that look like for me to more fully abandon my heart to you?" And this actually is actually very important for me in this season, because I've walked with Jesus a long time and I'm actually experiencing more vulnerability in my walk with the Lord than I have in a while. I'm changing right now. And it's like, Lord, I feel like the Lord's calling me to just more fully abandon myself to him in this season. Even when it seems harder, there's some uncertainties. You know, faith is not about certainty. It's about confidence, confide, with faith, following him with faith. And I'm in a vulnerable season. So I feel the call. Father, help me to abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you will do, I will thank you. I'm ready for all, I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I commend myself into your hands, into your care. Boundless confidence, because you are my Father. That would be good. That would be good. Good things come to those who wait. Great things come to those who prepare. So what would that upward abandonment look like for you? Just more full surrender. What could that look like for you in this season? To be more intentional and innovative, courageous and creative, and preparing through abandonment to the Father. What might that look like? Trusting God more completely in an area of your life that you've been holding on to. Lord, I give it to you. Whether you're young or old, different seasons, Lord, I give you my body as it's growing older. My pain, my suffering, my relationships, my friendships, my spouse, my kids. Lord, where am I holding on where I need to surrender? To abandon our lives to the will of the Father. That will help us have a fresh Easter experience, I believe. So as the worship team comes forward, we're just going to have a little time. I just want you to think as they're singing, you know, this song. I love this song. "This is my desire to honor you." What would it look like for you? Whether it's inward humility, outward vulnerability, upward abandonment to the Lord. But whether you've walked with Jesus or you're just asking questions, and you've walked with Jesus a year or 50 years, this is still an opportunity this Easter. How might you move a little differently? What is God leading you to do a little differently to have a fresh experience of Him? So let's just take a moment and we'll just kind of meditatively sing this song and then we'll close. So three movements: inward humility, outward vulnerability, upward abandonment. Lord, have your way in me. What would it look like for you in the next few weeks to move a little differently, just to receive the goodness that God has for us this Easter season in a fresh way? So would you stand with me with this in mind? Let me say a blessing over us. So now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. And may he bring you home rejoicing in the wonders he's shown you this Easter. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. May the grace and peace and love of our Lord Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with you as you go today. So blessings to each of you. Have a good day.
Thank you.